Scott, sir. Sunday PM, July 15th, 2012.
Open with me tonight, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 4. And as we head that direction tonight, we'll read the account of Elisha and the widow's oil. A story that's probably familiar to most of us, one that we've probably heard before. But as I was studying and preparing and came across this lesson, it was just encouraging to me to see the widow and the process of faith that she went through and recognizing her need and calling out to the Lord, waiting, and then acting on the promise that was given. And as I looked in my own life, it was just kind of relevant to me and some of the things that I'm going through, and just learning to wait for that answer, having the faith to act when the answer is given, and to trust the Lord. And as we try to get through this tonight, I'll just touch on some of the lessons that stuck out to me, and I'm not sure if we'll even get through all of them, but there were many as I went through, and we'll just look at what we have time for tonight. But before we get started, and just looking at some of Elisha's miracles, I came across a commentary that gave this introduction to Elisha. He said, "Elisha's miracles were for use, not for show. This recorded here was an act of real charity. Such also were the miracles of Christ, not only great wonders, but great favors to those for whom they were wrought. God magnifies his goodness with his power." And that kind of spoke to me as I started studying this out and just looking at this miracle and how wonderful it is that God provides miracles in our lives. And they're not for show, but they're for our charity. They're for our use. They're for our growth and our benefit by his goodness. And he works in wonderful ways. And I hope that that speaks to us tonight as we go through this. And we'll just jump in at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slave.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in this house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" To me, I just see a testimony of the goodness and grace and mercy of God as I read that account of taking from nothing, taking from a desperate situation and creating exactly what was needed and when it was needed. Do we trust him to do the same for us? And this was, you know, no doubt a very desperate need for this poor widow. And God came in and met her need exactly how it was needed. And I asked myself that question. And the answer, of course, is yes, he will do the same as we yield our lives to him, as we wait patiently and obey in all that he tells us. One of the first things that I noticed in this account was Elisha's response. In the NIV, it simply reads, "How shall I help you?" And I thought to myself, maybe a bit of a convicting question to me, what is our response when somebody asks for help? And I like to be helpful to people, but sometimes, you know, it's just not always convenient. But as I've read this account, she had a very real need, and Elisha's response instantly was, "How shall I help you? What can I do for you?" And how true that needs to be in our lives. And it's not that we always have to drop everything at every moment, at every moment, but to have that heart that's ready to minister to the needs of others. Elisha was quick to respond. He knew very well how desperate her situation was. He knew the testimony of her husband. He showed great compassion, and we are called on to do the same. Let's turn to Romans in chapter 12. In Romans 12, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." To be kindly affectionate to one another, if we could master this, if the body of Christ could master this in our lives, it would solve a whole heap of problems. To be kindly affectionate, to think of others before we think of ourselves, to be ready to minister as the Lord would lead and enable us to the needs of others. And it's not always a physical activity of going and doing something for somebody, but we see here being steadfast in prayer, continuing in prayer, being patient with one another, distributing to the needs of the saint. And I think Elisha is a great example to us in this passage that he was not lagging in diligence. He was ready to help, and his response is, "What can I do for you?" Going on in this commentary that I read, he notes, "He effectually relieves this poor widow's distress and puts her in a way both to pay her debt and to maintain herself and her family. He did not say, 'Be warm, be filled,' but gave her real help. He did not give her some small matter for her present provision, but set her up in the world to sell oil and put a stock into her hand to begin with." How wonderful it is in our life that the Lord takes us where we're at and not only meets our present needs, but sets us up to go on and go forth with Him. By His grace and mercy, we are able to daily walk with the provision that He gives us to supply our daily need. And we've talked about this with the children and how He meets our daily needs. And that's one of the reasons that we give thanks for the daily provisions that He provides. And to understand that regardless of what's going on or where we're at, that we can do all things through Christ because He will meet our need. He will supply our need. But as this miracle begins in this account, there is a recognizing of the need by the widow. She acknowledged that she had a need, and she cried out. And that's the place that we need to start. When we have a need in our life, we need to call out to the Lord, to lay it before Him. And again, we took prayer requests tonight so that we can lift one another up and the needs of this assembly and our extended families and co-workers, that we can pray one for another to make our needs and request known unto Him, and then patiently wait on the Lord to answer, to guide, to direct us. We have nothing to offer the Lord, and the widow recognized that she had nothing. She was coming to Elijah asking for help with nothing to give in return. She very literally had nothing but this jar of oil. If she would have had other valuables in the home, no doubt she would have been able to sell them to pay the debts. But whether it's a jar of oil or anything else we have or don't have, the Lord is able to take it and make it what He wants it to be as we trust Him. He's not impressed with what we have or don't have. He's not impressed with the outward. We think of Samuel when he was looking for the king to anoint, and the Lord said, Samuel said, I do not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How wonderful it is that the Lord looks at us individually, not by how the world looks at us, but how He sees us. Through the blood of Christ, He takes us and makes us what He wants us. He comes to us just as I am, but doesn't leave me there and transform me. And again, to me, it's a wonderful privilege that we have to come and plead before the Lord, to enter His presence, to come before His throne, to give our needs over to Him, to cast our cares at His feet. And something that jumped out to me too is and she begins to plead to Elisha. She says, "You know my husband, you know he feared the Lord." And Elisha doesn't discount that, but he quickly turns to her and says, "What do you have?" We can't depend on what others have done or those who have gone before us. It's a personal faith. It's an intimate relationship with us in the Lord. And he asks, "What do you have?" And I thought of, in Luke 21, let's jump over there, another account of a widow that we see. But what are we willing to give? What do you have to offer the Lord? Obviously, we have nothing in and of ourselves, but what does He give us? What does He enable us to use by His power? In Luke 21, let's read the first four verses. "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in the offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had.'" It's not based on what we have, but it's based on what we offer to the Lord. The widow in this account we just read gave all the livelihood that she had. And we see the same from the widow in our account in Elisha's story, that she gave all the oil that she had. But to me, again, this testimony here of the widow putting in two mites, of putting in all of herself into the offering. And I think in my life, it's easy to give out of abundance. But sometimes when things are tighter or we don't want to let something go, it can be harder to give it. But out of nothing, out of all her livelihood, she gave it to the Lord. She gave it wholly and fully. And I think that's a testimony to us as well, that we give the Lord our all. For he gave his all for us at Calvary. He wants from us a willing vessel that is fully surrendered, willing to do and go where he calls us to, and to do what he wants us to do, to become a vessel that might be used to honor him. So Elisha tells her to go out and gather vessels, to gather not just a few, but go gather vessels. And the thought of this word vessel is something prepared, an apparatus, a utensil, a vessel. It can be a bag, a carriage, several different words in which it's translated. But it's something, just a container. A vessel is the most visual description that worked for me, just to see this basin. And it could have been an ornate, could have been precious, it could have been common, it could have been plain. It didn't matter what it was. The Lord didn't care. He said, go gather vessels, and we are going to use them for my glory. But to get the vessels, and I will make them what I want them to be, regardless of what size they are. The Lord will use and do how he sees fit with whatever we have. And we think of this vessel, and she went to gather more, and I don't know what size vessels were back then. I tried to look and couldn't get a real grasp on how big it may have been or may not have been, but certainly it wasn't, you know, a 55-gallon drum size vessel. Otherwise, she would have had what she needed to provide. It was something small, and she needed to gather more to multiply it. And we think of God's not limited by our vessel. He'll take the vessel that he has given us and allow us to grow, allow us to be filled to overflowing. And I think of our faith, and when we go and gather a vessel, and I think in this account, you know, depending on her amount of faith, she could have just gone and got one. Well, certainly this little jar of oil is not going to fill up more than this one. But she was obedient, and she went out and gathered. And I think of our lives. Do we go out and bring as many vessels as we can to the Lord to be filled of him and through him? Do we respond like Noah, Moses, Abraham, Sarah, all these worthies of faith, of how they were given a promise and they acted and were obedient to it? I can't imagine the ridicule that Noah must have taken in building the ark. You know, I can think of today's terms, and, you know, it would have been all over the media, and people would be tweeting about it, and it'd be on Facebook and all these things. And sure, everybody would be mocking this man as they did then, but he believed, and he was abundantly rewarded by simply living out his faith and believing the promise of God. The widow in our account tonight certainly could have questioned Elisha, what do you mean? Why are we doing it this way? Why do I have to go to my neighbors? Why can't you do something special with what I've got? Why do I have to go do something? And I think in my own life, there's times that things don't make sense. And when things don't make sense to me, I want to ask questions. But there's times that we just don't need to ask questions. I'm sure you who have had children have had your children ask you why. But why? Why about that? Why about this? It doesn't matter why, because I told you. And sometimes that's the case with me. And the Lord, it just doesn't matter why. Just do it. And to understand that he has promised us his best, that he has given us an invitation to an abundant life, to be filled with his goodness, with his glory, with his mercy. Do we question when he leads to do something, or do we just obey? Do we just follow his leading, trusting him, knowing that his loving arms will never let us go? Do we believe and receive this abundant invitation? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, let's read the first two verses. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. What a wonderful passage, to think that we can come with who we are, with our vessel, to the Lord, that we can come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk. But we see the interesting part is without money and without price. The Lord is willing to give us all that we open ourselves up to take. I was thinking as going through this, a buffet line, whether it's at a restaurant buffet or back here in the fellowship hall when we have a dinner. I go through that line and there's all this food laid out and all these desserts laid out, and I tend to start piling stuff on my plate, knowing full well I can't eat it all. but it's there, so I feel like I have to take it. And then when I sit down, I took it, so now I feel like I got to eat it. And then I get full, I get stuffed. But so much more, the banquet before us, which the Lord has laid, that he has put out for us, come, pile it on, take it in, be full of all that he has for us. For he wants us to take all of him. He wants us to give all of us to himself. And truly, the message this morning was a wonderful reminder how precious our faith is, how precious our Savior is. Do we want all that he has for us, to load it up, to partake of all that he has come to give us, and to do it without money and without price? We have nothing to offer him. This widow had nothing. She had just a little jar of oil. We know that in our flesh nothing good dwells, but in Christ we have the hope of glory dwelling within us. And we must recognize that it's not us. It's the work of the Spirit that sanctifies, that works in us and through us to do his will, to sanctify us and to allow us to be edified and built up, knowing we are nothing outside of Christ. We have no satisfaction. We have no fullness outside of Christ. We have no happiness because it doesn't exist outside of Christ. So as she goes out and gathers the vessels, Elisha instructs her to gather them in, bring them into the house, and shut the door behind you. Again, as we read in the introduction, these miracles were not for show. They were for her use. They were for the Lord to do a work in her life. They shut the door behind them and to keep out the cares of life, the distractions of life, to shut them out so that we can be focused on the Lord and on his work. Turn with me to Matthew 6. And Matthew 6, we'll read verses 5 and 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward openly. And how true this was played out in this widow's life. They shut the door, and they allowed the Lord to do the work. And obviously, the neighbors must have realized the miracle that took place, because the debtors didn't come and take her sons away, and all of a sudden she had oil to sell and to live off of. So she was rewarded openly, but she obeyed and went to the secret place of the Lord. And I think in our lives, we need to remember that. We just need to be still and get quiet before him and allow him to do his work. It is God who will supply our need, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must use what God has given us. We must use it with joy to honor him, to not trust in uncertain riches. And I think I mentioned this Friday, but each day we must count it a privilege to wake up and serve the Lord, just to give thanks that, one, we're able to wake up, to get out of bed, and to know our Savior, to live with him and to walk with him on a daily basis is something we need to be thankful for and remember each and every day. Regardless of where we're going or where we're at or what is or isn't going on in our lives. But as we read here in this account, each member of the family had a place and they had a function. They had to go out and gather vessels, and the widow poured it out, and one son brought an empty one, and another son took the full one. They were all used of God. They were all members of this family and all had a place. And we think in this small family that didn't mean anything to the world, how God provided a miraculous deliverance for them. They were pretty much considered nothing in the sight of the world. The boys were fit to be slaves, and the creditors were coming to take them as such. But God works in his ways, and he doesn't see as the world sees. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. In 1 Corinthians 1, we'll read verses 26 through 31. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The widow could do nothing for herself. She was at the last straw, so to speak. She was foolishness to the world. She depended fully on God to meet her need. She came to Elisha and she said, I need help. This is all I have. And God was able to meet that need through Elisha, through the miracle that he instructed her to be carried out. The creditors were coming to take all that she had, to take her sons away. And no doubt if that would have occurred, she probably would have followed closely after with no one to help her. But they were stopped. The creditors were stopped because God had made a way. He took the base things of the world, those things that were discarded and left aside, and had a mighty deliverance for this family. Therefore, as we look in our own lives and we see the deliverances, we see the miracles that God wrought in our life, to remember, we can glory in Him. He works mighty things in us and through us, and we can come boldly with great expectation that He will meet our need. It may not be the way we want, the way we expect, the way we think, but our God will supply our need. He will meet our every need. And we know that He is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. And we have that passage in Ephesians 2. I'll just paraphrase it to you. And we've been made alive together with Him, that He would show the exceeding riches of His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved. It's not of works. And he goes on that we are all His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which He prepared beforehand. Our God is rich in mercy, and we see that abundantly in our account tonight. And I think we could all testify that we see it in our lives daily, that God is rich in mercy. Every day His mercies are new. The exceeding riches of His kindness toward this family, we see His kindness toward us each and every day. And it may not always be by great miracles. It may not always be by us seeing something physical and dramatic, though that may be the case. But as we yield and surrender, we can see and feel the Lord working in our lives. We can look back and see how He met needs. I know in my own life, as I was thinking, I had a need that to me seemed so real and so urgent. And as time passed, I kind of forgot about it. And then something reminded me, and I looked back and go, wow, that need that was so big at that moment in time that it caused me to stop and be stressed out for a minute. And slowly I began to forget about it. And I look back now, and the Lord, He took care of it without anything, without any energy, without me doing anything, to the point where I even forgot about it. And how wonderful that is for us to look back in our lives, and we sing that song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And if we truly sit and try to do that, one, it's impossible to number all the blessings that the Lord has provided us with. But if we truly think back, He has been faithful. He always will be faithful. It's going to be no different with what I'm going through now or what may come up in the future. He doesn't leave us as we are. He takes us. He transforms us day by day from glory to glory into His image. He intercedes on our behalf. And I pray that this gives us confidence, knowing that in Hebrews, as we read, He continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save completely. He's able to handle everything that comes our way. The hard times, the widow losing her husband, and like all of us, face a certain death, unless we go by the way of translation, understanding that she couldn't depend on her husband anymore. She had to depend fully on God to meet her needs. There was nobody else with her. And she was about to lose her sons, and I think that realization brought the desperation of her calling out, I need help. This is all I have. And it was more than enough for the Lord to use. He comes and takes us and lifts us up. He takes us out of the miry pit, the filth of this world. I remember very real in my own life that moment when He lifted me out of the evil darkness of this world and set me upon His firm foundation. How wonderful it is that He is able to do that, to save us to the uttermost. And I pray that it gives us a confidence to go on and to walk daily, to enjoy this full and rich salvation that goes much far beyond that initial conversion. But it's a daily yielding and surrendering. It's at times when the trials are hard and we feel like it's just overbearing at times, of just waiting patiently and enduring as He enables us to, as He makes a way for us to do. The widow had to go out and gather the vessels. They were brought in, but now we see there was the response on her part. She had to pour the oil out. That last bit of oil that she had to pour it out. And in the pouring out of the oil, it was then multiplied. And her obedience to do the act that Elisha had laid out, her response was to pour it out, and the oil increased abundantly. And, you know, I can think of times in my life, and the Lord has led me to do something, and you know you're going to do it, but that just that last moment before you take the step, you can get maybe a little nervous, or maybe a question or doubts or fears may arise. This is all I have, and I've got to pour it out. She had to take it and pour it out. And what she was given multiplied. And I think of the parable of the talents. the parable when one received five talents and he took the five talents and got five more, and the other took his talents, and so on and so forth, to the one that took the talent and said, you know, I buried it. I didn't do anything with it. And we see the response, and he said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So he took the talent from him and gave it to him who has 10 talents. But the other two, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you took what I gave you, and you used it, and you multiplied by my grace, by my strength. And the response and the answer they received was, well done. I pray that is our desire as well. He has blessed us with many talents. He has given us many promises. He desires our faith to grow, for us to mature in our walk with him, to exercise ourselves toward godliness, and to understand we have been given many, many blessings, and we are to use them. We are to be satisfied with all the fullness of the Lord, that we may have life. That's why he came, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. To him who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, they were to bring many vessels, not just a few, to bring all that they had, all that they are, into this room, that the Lord could fill them up and make them able not just to meet their present need, but to go on through life and to live off all he gives. He held nothing back at Calvary, and we should hold nothing back in our daily lives. We should love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And we think of the many, many blessings that were daily provided, that we have been given all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Therefore, it is our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice to him. I pray that the mercy of God would move us to want to go on, to want to have more. We have tasted that the Lord is good. And when I taste something that's good in the natural, I want more of it. When I have that taste for something, I'm sure you've all had cravings for something, we want more of it. And I pray that that is our reaction to the Lord, to understand his goodness and his greatness, and to want more of it, to want more of him every day. And when we have our eyes set upon him, that no doubt will come to pass. And now she was to go and sell the oil that had been multiplied. We are to work out our own salvation by his strength, by his power. And as we go through this life and we think of all that he provides and all that he gives us, we can be renewed day by day. Don't allow the oil to stop flowing, to be refreshed day by day. Allow him to fill you up daily, to be refreshed and be strengthened in your inner man, to wait on him, knowing that he will meet your every need. He will make you a worthy vessel. Let's close tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. This is a comforting passage to me, to know that when we have trials, when we have struggles, when we feel like things are pushing in on us and caving in on us, to know that in these all, that the life of Jesus may be manifested as we yield, as we surrender to him, to be made a vessel of honor in his wonderful house. Let us come tonight and bring our vessels. Let us be open and allow the Lord to fill us to overflowing. As we sang tonight, drinking at the fountain. Glory to God, I'm at the fountain drinking. Glory to God, I'm on my journey home. Allow him daily to fill us up, to refresh us, that we may strive to hear those words of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.